I keep thinking about what Achan teach this morning. Achan already remind us to consider carefully about each reality, each word. And at that time, I said that, but it's very difficult, Achan, because when we try to consider impossible,
because it's I try to not to be I.
Yes. And I'm still thinking about Achan replied that if there's nothing, nothing happens. If there's no not seeing, so nothing appears. So I think it's very good point to understand what is a wise consideration. Yes, I'm still thinking about that.
So thinking of that again and again, to be Upanishya Khojra, until it's well known. As long as it is a reality, arises to experience the object, no one can stop, even while one is asleep, even at moment of birth, or a moment follow birth moment, it's there. Who can stop the anantarapajya and samanantarapajya of each citta? As soon as it falls away, it conditions the next one, not by will, but by the condition anantarapajya. That's why one has to live on and on and on endlessly until no condition for anything to arise anymore. Nothing arises. And at moment when we talk about that, nothing arises anymore. It's the citta. After nothing arise anymore, can there be any citta?
No.
Chetasika?
No.
Rupa conditioned by karma?
Yes.
And more generally, wise consideration is consideration that is kusala, reflecting on something with kusala citta. Most of the thinking that is conditioned by hearing something in the discussion, for example, whether it's at the time or later, most of that thinking won't be kusala necessarily, because our thinking is not that sharp. We are mostly trying to work out what is the relevance of what Ajahn has said, for example. When there's thinking like that, it's not kusala. But among all that akusala, there may be some moments of kusala when there is a little bit clearer understanding of the significance of what has been said. And those moments, of course, are the wise consideration. For each person, that thinking and the conclusion they draw from it about the meaning or importance of what has been said will be different. Ajahn, for example, has a very deep knowledge of Abhidhamma because she studied it as a subject before she became interested in. So the way of reflecting on whatever has been said will be different for each person, depending not only on their level of understanding, but other things that they're interested in too. We can't say thinking with this thought is wise consideration. Or we don't really have to be too concerned about how much of the thinking is kusala or not. The fact is, any kind of reflection will be useful, assuming it's within reason, and it'll be according to our accumulated tendency. But the main thing is there is the interest there that conditions the reflection, not so much whether it's pure and kusala or not.
So consider each word carefully doesn't mean there's anything to be done at all. That's the point. Consider each word means, like, all dharmas are anatta. Consider means understanding develops naturally. The wise considering has to accumulate. There has to be more and more upanishya gotra, the object of understanding. But no I to consider, no I to do something. It's not a matter of changing the thinking now or pausing. It means that the consider each word means the considering itself develops with understanding.
And each word carefully, I just think, means that each word has meaning and significance. If there are several words, then each word plays its part. You don't have to isolate one word and think about it, because it might be and or it or something. But it is said the Buddha never spoke a superfluous word, a word that wasn't necessary. So the consideration has to be not just on a certain part of what was said, because then it may not be properly understood unless the other words are also taken into account. Again, this comes down to our tendencies. Some people will want to analyze each word, and some people wouldn't be interested in that, but they are interested in what is meant by this expression. That's all that matters, really.
And consider each word doesn't mean analyze or check the dictionary definitions, like seclusion. What is seclusion now? What is the reality that is alone at this moment, to be understood, not to be just theoretically defined? And I have a question for Riti. So Mai said that, as Ajahn often says, before seeing, nothing appears. What is meant by this?
Before seeing, nothing appears. It means before seeing, there is no five senses.
Right.
Yes, there is only...
And why does nothing appear before, for example, the eye door experiencing the eye? Why is there nothing appearing before that?
Because there is not enough condition, because in order for the five senses to arise...
What arises before, for example, before the eye-door process, before the cheetahs that experience visible object through the eye-door, what arises before that?
Pavanga citta.
And what is the object of the pavanga cheetahs?
The object is the last... object of javana of past life.
Can we say it's completely unknown?
Yes.
Any object unknown. And why doesn't it appear?
Because it is unknown.
Why is it unknown? Like, we know the cheetahs that experience an object through the eye door. We know it's always the visible object. Why is the object of the Bawanga cheetahs unknown? Why doesn't it appear?
I don't know.
I think you do. Think of our lunchtime discussion when Ajahn asked you a question about whether any cheetahs could experience an object not through any doorway.
Yes, because the citta of the five senses could... it has doorways, but for... Padisanti, for Pavanga and Kchuti, Citta, it experiences an object without any doorway.
And if it doesn't experience the object through a doorway, can it be known? Can it appear?
It is still the object of the Citta, of the Citta, but it does not appear.
Right. Why not?
Because it does not appear.
There cannot be any understanding arising. They're just the vipaka cheetahs that experience the object. But if it doesn't appear through a sense door or a mind door, how can understanding arise to understand it?
Yes, it does not appear through the sense door.
Or mind door.
Yeah, or mind door.
In theory, anything can be known through the mind door, we sometimes say. So if the level of understanding was sufficient, for example, that of a Buddha, then it could be. The fact that it is arising not in a doorway doesn't preclude it from being object through the mind door.
I think the Bawanga cheetahs can appear, but not the object.
But it has to appear, otherwise the Buddha could not tell. Yeah. So it must appear to very high level of panya, like the Buddha's.
Could that be possible because the supernatural power, he can recall all the moments?
Recall all the object that was experienced through the mind or in the last life, for example.
He can recall the last moment of the past life.
Last javana chitta.
Javana chitta. Object. Yeah. But how come he knows that the object of those Bhavanga Chittas, the object, has
impossible
object
to begin to comprehend the omniscient wisdom of the Buddha, whatever he put his mind to could be known. And when Mai mentioned about before seeing nothing appeared, and Ajahn mentioned Anantara and Samanantara Pachaya, what does it mean?
Anantara Pachaya refers to when one citta falls away, it conditions the next citta to arise, and that is anantara pachaya.
And samanantara pachaya?
Samanantara
pachaya.
Samanan, I don't know that.
It's almost the same, so that one citta follows another one, and it has to be that particular one. So before seeing consciousness, there has to be the adverting consciousness. Before the adverting consciousness, it has to be Bhavanga Chitta that experiences its object. After seeing, there have to be two more Vipaka Chittas. By Anantara Pachaya, each one follows the other, and Samanantara, the particular one it is. So we don't have to say why so many cheetahs, or why there were Bhavanga cheetahs before each sense or process. By Samanantara Pachaya, it cannot be any other way.
Yes. Samanantara Pachaya, it refers to the type of the cheetah that follows
yes.
one another.
So the Pachaya is exactly the same as when we talk about Anantara Pachaya, like seeing consciousness now is Anantara Pachaya for the citta that follows, and the citta that follows the Pachyupana is the result by Anantara Pachaya. Samanantara refers to exactly the same citta and the same one that follows, but it's indicating why it has to be that one that follows and not any other one. Because you asked, well, why are there so many, only this number of realms, or why, we may say, why this number of cheetahs, or why this number of cheetah seekers? We learn by conditions. It has to be just this way, not any other way.
So it's how it is.
How it is, from one cheetah to the next cheetah.
It's the same pattern like that.
Yes.
Yes. Samantara. Or Samanatura.
So after seeing, it has to be Vachita.
We have Bhavanga, we have adverting, and then seeing, and then three moments, and then Javanas for 7 moments.
Right, that's the order, right? Yeah, that's the Samanatura, it's the order. You cannot, no one can change the order.
Yeah.
So this is considering each word carefully, like Samanantara Pachaya, not I trying to consider, but just naturally considering carefully in order to appreciate a little more about how dhammas are conditioned and anatta, not in anyone's control, even for an instant.
That is very helpful. Thank you, Sarah.
Any more topics?
Not just new topic, just back to the previous topic. When I'm thinking, consider in each word very carefully, it means that at that time there's no condition for wise consideration for me to think about the word Ajahn was speaking. So when Ajahn asked me again about the seeing and what appear, and if there's no seeing, so what appear. So I understand more about the way of wise consideration is to think more about what really happened at the present moment. Yes, try to the way to consider about the characteristic of the present moment. So I think it's very, very important.
So can citta appear as the object?
It can.
Otherwise, there cannot be the understanding of Pavanga, because Pavanga is citta. So no matter it is the moment of Pavanga, or moment of seeing, or moment of understanding, dana, and so on, citta is there. So when there is the understanding of the nature of citta, there's no doubt about Pavanga. Even there is Pavanga right now, but no understanding until the nature of citta is there, known as it is.
Regarding what you just said, I think it's, of course, quite appropriate that there needs to be the appreciation that what we're talking about it and considering does relate to the present moment. It's not just theory. However, we don't have to make an effort to relate it to the present moment only. I think that as we have that understanding, that will condition the consideration to be wholesome at an appropriate moment. So we don't have to force, as it were, ourselves to be relating it to the present moment as there is consideration going on. That could be a kind of...
I think the problem is in language. Maybe sometime I just want to describe the moment of thing about when we attend to what I chant. Yes, what I try to attend or pay attention to what I chant is mentioning. So maybe just a feeling about the way of thinking at that time.
This came up in one of the questions in Vung Tao. When we're trying to understand the meaning of what's being said, that doesn't mean there's a self that's trying. I mean, that's just natural, because it's not easy to follow what's being said. So obviously it involves a kind of trying, but that's not the kind of trying that is the wrong view of self coming forward.
Because when I say that, it's very difficult, because I know that cannot try. Because we cannot try, so it's very difficult. It must be happened by condition.
Well, there can be trying in the sense that I just mentioned. Otherwise, one would just not make any effort to understand it. But just like if it's hard to hear and you have to focus attention on what's being said, that's not necessarily a self wanting to have more understanding. That's just, okay, this is important, useful to know, so you pay close attention. The Buddha used the expression, listen with eager ear, to describe the person who has interest in what's being said and appreciates that it's worth hearing.
Even pay attention or whatever is very difficult, because if there's no condition, even that, yes.
I would like to raise a question. In Ekagata, it says the approximate cause of Ekagata is sukha vedana. Sukha vedana. Yes. So No. The Ekagata. Yes, the mental factor Ekagata in the book, it says the approximate cause of Ekagata is sukha vedana. So yes, that is the my questions, because if the Why the approximate cause of the ekagata is sukha vetana? Because we have many moments of tomanasa vetana, and it should arise every moment of seeing, hearing, thinking, whether or not it is sukha vetana, it is still it's still with citta at every moment. So I don't understand why in a book it says the approximate cause of ekagata is sukha vedana.
Which ekagata is the sukha vedana proximate condition for, like you say, the concentration with dosa, sukha vedana, it cannot be proximate condition for. So which ekagata can it be conditioned for?
I'm not sure, but I think the deep meditation might require that sukha vedana, but it is not necessarily like that. I still not understand on that point.
What about now, at moments of understanding, there is right concentration at that moment, and what is the vedana?
Now?
When there is understanding. And when there's understanding, there's right concentration, what is the vedana?
It's upekkha vedana.
Usually joyful, usually happy feeling, pleasant feeling.
Piti
and sukha vedana cannot be unpleasant feeling at those moments. So it depends on the context. There was another example the other day, I've forgotten what it was, but something you said, but it had to refer to the quality when it was a factor in satipatthana or enlightenment factor. So we have to know the context. So the right concentration, for example, usually with somanasa.
Because I don't have the context, because I just read in the book, the very early page of the book, that it defines what is ekagata. That it defines the definition of each mental factor. So for ekagata, it gives the definition, it gives the approximate cause, and it just say like that. So. Yeah, Abhidhamma. I think it's the other book. Not in the survey. Not in the survey. I saw it in the other Abhidhamma book.
Maybe later you could
find. Let me check it.
It's like often the Vietnamese friends, they often say, "Oh, this is what is in the book about these four somethings," and. But actually, it may just be the idea of the teacher. It may not be actually what we find in the texts themselves. So we have to know the source and to.
Just the word. What about understanding a reality? That's why no doubt, no, whether it arises with this moment or what moment at all, at what stage. That's why just understand the truth of one reality. No doubt, when there is more story about it. So what is ekagata? Not just the word from the book, but the understanding. What is ekagata?
From my understanding, ekagata is it means citta could only experience one object at a time.
See, citta and chittasik and so on. But what is ekakata? The reality of ekakata, what is
the reality of ekakata is that which helps citta to focus on.
That you are talking about ekakata, but what is it?
It's the focus.
What is it?
Focus. Focusing on an object.
That is the book again. Is it real?
Yes, it's real.
How do you know that it's real?
For example, right now, when I'm seeing Ajahn, it points, it focuses on the seeing on Ajahn, so it's real.
Can it... When you say focusing, does it experiencing that object?
Yes.
Okay. By its characteristic, concentrating, focusing, one-pointed moment, our reality, right then. Is it citta?
Yes, it is. It is not, ekagata is not citta, but it...
In
it
words,
arises with
or about the truth of it, it's not citta. So there must be clear understanding of what is citta in order to say that ekagata is not citta. Otherwise, they are mixed.
And can Ajahn be seen? Can Ajahn be the object of ekagata?
Ajahn is a visible object.
Or we could say a visible object that is thought to be Ajahn, but a visible object cannot be Ajahn.
It's concept.
Yeah, it's just an idea, just yes. What is visible that is the object of the citta and the ekagata at the moment of seeing. Yeah.
Yes.
Is ekagata citta?
No, it is
Why not?
Because citta could arise without ekagata.
No.
See,
the word doesn't help at all. Mm. Only understanding. More and more, a little more.
Yeah, it arises in every citta.
Remember?
With
understanding.
Every. It is not...
Why does it have to arise with every citta?
Because a citta could... experience only one object at a time.
Right, it needs ekagata to focus on one object for the citta to experience that one object at every moment in life.
Yes.
But is ekagata citta?
No, it is not.
So what is ekagata and what is citta?
Ekagata
is... It seems like there's no thinking or considering about these two before.
Based on the book knowledge, it is different, but from my experience, it is not able to differentiate between the two. It arises together.
That's why, can citta be ekagata?
No,
what the
cannot.
Book say again? What it say in the book? Just think about the words in the book. See?
No, it cannot. Ekagata is not citta.
Why not?
I don't know.
That's why the citta and chetasikas are different. No matter what kind of cetasika we are talking about, it cannot be citta. Never be citta. Because there are namas, different characteristics. What is meant by nama?
Nama is that which experience something.
Okay. Does citta experience the object?
Yes, Ajahn.
Does ekagata experience the object?
it does not experience the object, but it helps citta to experience.
Do the chetasikas that arise together with citta experience the same object as the citta, or only the citta experiences the object and the chetasikas don't experience that object?
The same object.
They experience the same object, so ekagata has to experience exactly the same object as the citta.
Yes.
But at a moment of seeing, the seeing sees what is visible, experiences the visible object, sees it clearly as it is. Does the ekagata see the visible object?
Yes, it should.
It has its own function. Each chetasika has its own function. Only seeing can see it. What is the function of ekagata? What is its role at that moment when it arises of seeing?
Its role is to help citta to focus on an object.
We can say the ekagata focuses on that object so that the seeing sees that object.
Okay, yes.
So all the chetasikas experience exactly the same object, but each one has its different function, its different job to perform, so that it's possible for the seeing to see the object. They all condition each other.
Okay, yes.
Different functions.
Yes. So chetasika and citta experience the same object, but they perform different functions.
Whatever is real is Dhamma. The rupa which conditions citta to arise, can the rupa experience object?
No, the rupa cannot experience.
That's why there must be only the nama, the reality, which arises to experience the object.
Yes, Ajahn.
No matter what. Anger, irritation, attachment, aversion, ignorance. So, they both experience the object. Are they the same?
They both experience the object, but they are not the same.
That's why there are two kinds of nama which experiences the object. What is that which experience? We don't talk about anything, just experience an object. It's nama. The rupa cannot experience the object. But all namas are different. And one nama, which is the chief of experiencing the object, while the other's nama experience the object, but not as the chief. That's why there's the word for citta, the reality which arises, experience the object as the chief. That's why what is meant by the chief. There must be other realities which experience the object arising together, but they have different quality and different function. And only function is that which is citta, that our other namas cannot perform that function at all, is experiencing the object clearly. So what does it mean by clearly? The other object, the other chetasikas or nama, which experience the object together, arise together, experience the same object together, but only one is the chief of experience the object clearly, while the others experience the object not as clear. See, experience, it doesn't mean that it does not experience. It experiences the object not as clear as citta. So don't miss or forget the truth of each word. Citta experiences the object. Chetasika experiences the object. They are nama, reality, because they experience the object. But they are different by one is the chief of experiencing the object. Only experience the object clearly. to be known by citta. But citta cannot remember, it cannot feel, it cannot like, it cannot dislike. It just experiences the object clearly. That's all. But the other cetasikas arising together experience the same object, but not as the chief of experiencing, because it has its characteristic. For example, feeling is not citta, but it experiences the same object when they arise together with citta, no matter at what moment. So when citta is akusala, citta itself is not akusala, pandara. To differentiate the difference between the two, pandara, always pandara. And what is the meaning of pandara?
I don't know.
Not in the book.
it is in the book, but I don't remember.
Because you see that it's in the book. Citta is the chief of experiencing. So we consider a little more. There must be the other realities experience the object, arise together, but not as citta, the chief of experiencing the object clearly. But the other experience the same object, but it has its quality and its function. So it does not experience the object as clear as citta.
So pandara is clear, so each citta is clear, yes.
Yes.
Pure or clear, yes.
To understand the truth forever, never change, citta experiences the object clearly.
And considering carefully or with a little understanding now, what is the feeling?
Feeling is a cetasika that has its own characteristic.
But what kind of feeling when there's a little understanding?
When there is a little understanding, it's somanas sa
vedana. It's pleasant, like feeling. A relief, pleasant. And when it's great understanding, what kind of feeling?
Great understanding.
What kind of vedana?
The same
pleasant feeling. Yes, we're not talking about the highest jhanas, but we can say usually when there's understanding, it's pleasant feeling. Yes.
Yes, right.
Is it clear about citta and cetasika?
Yes, Ajahn. Now it's clear. Yes. So now I remember that both citta and cetasika experience an object, and both citta is the chief of experiencing, but cetasika is it does not experience clearly because it has its own characteristics. Yeah. Thank you, Ajahn, for telling me this.
Not enough. Is now citta appearing?
Yes, Ajahn.
Careful to understand the difference between careful considering and just think about it, not carefully. What appears now?
Seeing appears now.
Seeing or what?
Sorry, a visible object.
Okay. What says it? See, only the question, just as simple, but it has to be considered.
Seeing sees visible object.
Seeing sees. Can attachment see the object?
Attachment could not see, it can only cling to the object.
It experiences the same object for sure. That's yes. Why it clings to the object that it's experienced. But not the citta, which does not cling, does not remember at all. Only the chief of experiencing. That's why they arise together, perform different functions. But the nama, no matter what, experience the object. That's why they arise together. Citta arises with cetasika, and cetasika arises with citta. But cetasika cannot be citta. And citta cannot be any cetasikas at all. That's why there is citta nupassana satipatthana. And the other, the cetasikas, can it be object of satipatthana?
Yes, it could
what
be.
What are they? One by one.
Vedana.
But to understand vedana is not citta, but it experiences the object by feeling towards that object. If it does not experience any object, how can it feel towards that object? Pleasant or unpleasant, bodily or mentally?
Yes, Ajahn.
Can citta arise without cetasika?
It cannot arise without cetasika.
Begin to consider nothing about the word. Otherwise, at moment of thinking about the word, it's not understanding the difference at all. So the word can be known when there is the understanding. Just read without understanding, you see.
From my experience, when seeing see, at the same moment, it is cetasika is already there. Yes.
How many?
7. but in the book it's 7, but from my experience, I don't know how many.
But it has to be at least 7 kinds of cetasika. At least. And what does it mean? At least.
It could be more than that.
So, how many cittas with only 7 cetasikas?
Vipaka citta.
What kind of vipaka? Word, thinking about word. But when there's the understanding, we don't have to think about what we have read at all, because there is the understanding about why there are only 7 cetasikas at least at such moments.
Because there is no root.
The book again, see, just learn about the word, but what about the truth? Why there's no root, and so on. When there's no root, why not? Not just because there's no root. When there is the understanding, do we have to take examination?
No need, Ajahn.
To know how much we know. So now understand what is meant by study Dhamma. The reality is there, but without the word from the one who has enlightened, how can it be known without word? That's why each word just points to the truth of what is there now. Citta, cetasika, object, sound or whatever, all there here. And this is the world. Without this, there's no world at all. The source of the world. When there's no the reality which experiences the object, can there be the idea of the world?
No.
So, what is the moment of thinking about the world? We use the word thinking, so what is it?
It is in the mind door.
Pardon?
In the mind door.
See, I didn't ask about the door, see. But you think of the words which... So there be the question, what is mind door? again and again and again to understand what's the word in the book represent what is there now. Whether it's the sound of...
It's just sound. In reality, there is no door.
It does lead to understand what is there as door. See, just remember the word, whether it's door or not in the book. That's why there is that word, begin again, begin again, begin again. No matter what level of understanding. So now we begin again to not understanding just the meaning of the word, but the truth of the word is about that which is so real now. Otherwise it's useless. Just remember the word, but no understanding of what is there from moment to moment. So what is thinking? Not in the book. Right now. If we don't forget, there are two kinds of the reality which arise and experience the object. See, a little more understanding by oneself. Two kinds of reality. One arises to experience the object, nama dhamma, and the one which cannot experience the object is conditioned to arise, but it cannot experience. Is that true? Not in the book, but the book is about the truth. The nama and the rupa, different realities.
Yes, Ajahn. Thinking is that which thinks.
Right. Can it see?
It cannot see.
So at birth, at moment of birth, is it thinking?
At moment of birth, I don't know. I don't remember.
See, just remember. And when it's forgotten, hear it again and forget it again. When there's no understanding.
What kind of jitta is the first jitta of one?
Padisanti.
What kind?
What kind? Is vipaka. It's
vipaka sink.
First jitta.
To understand the truth of no matter what moment. Is there reality?
Yes, there is reality. Yeah.
How do you know that it's a reality?
Because seeing sees now and hearing hears now.
Not the word, but the truth.
Yes.
We can change the word, but we cannot change the truth.
Yes, Ajahn.
So, how much understanding of the words of the Buddha right now?
Not much.
Not much.
After getting questions from Ajahn, I think a lot of points are learned by book and limited by words. So the understanding, this is not the understanding of the Dhamma. So, yes. It will take more.
Begin again. Is that right? For everyone, begin again.
Begin again.
Mm-hmm. To understand, to consider a little more carefully. Nama, whatever experiences the object, call it that. There can be the question in mind, consider again and again. For example, at moment of getting angry, what is it, a reality?
Yes, it is.
What kind?
It is. What kind of reality?
See, when there's understanding, it comes up. What kind? But when there's no understanding, what kind? The nama. Forget. Because it's just a word. But when it's the understanding, this moment is real. But what is it is not known. Until hearing about the truth of what is there now, in a moment, it begins to understand the truth of life, the reality, which is there as it is. So now begin again. Dhamma is not in the book. It's not in, but there are many words in the book. And the truth is now. And here, not in the book.
Yes, Ajahn.
So, what is nama? See?
Nama is that which experience an object.
If I suddenly die now, it's clear to you, nama rupa.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's thing nama rupa. You can know you die.
And the nama appear?
Nama experience that which appear.
Can it appear?
Can it appear?
What appear as nama? Right now. It's not in dream, it's not in thought, but it's it there now, nama.
What appear as nama?
Begin again.
Question as what nama
is. Begin again. Until it's firm. Not just in concept, but the truth is there. To be known, the characteristic of that, which is not just the word. That's why Dhamma is so very subtle. Otherwise, no one sees the Buddha. When there's no understanding, the words, after his enlightenment, just talk about what is there, as it is. So what is there now, see, to be considered?
Yes, Ajahn.
Anything or nothing?
Now? Anything.
A little more considering.
Begin again.
Because it's there now, not enough. What is there now? And from the book, Nama and Rupa, see, just the word, but the understanding of nature, of nama, that is see. And there is that which is seen only at moment when it's seen. How short it is. And at moment of thinking, it's not that which is seen. See? And begin to understand the truth a little more, until it's so firm. So there can be a direct understanding of what we are talking about, have been talking about many, many times. Just as we have talked about it or understand the truth of it. Japan. More to learn about.
Yes, I can.
More to consider about any moment. When there's enough condition, it's there instantly. Just thought about nama or the reality or the seeing or what is there right then. Is there any moment in the day thinking about hardness, softness, cold or heat?
No thinking, it just appear.
It's there, past, instantly, unknown. That's why listen again and again and again, consider again and again. But there must be conditions, even for that moment. And Buddha thought about everything in life, in samsara. That's why after reading, hearing, there must be considering. Is there considering right now?
Yes, Ajahn.
Mm-hmm. Wisely or unwisely?
I think it is wisely.
When there's understanding,
yes,
it's wisely.
We talk about a reality gone and never to return. That's true. But in a sense, when memory, when we recall, for example, the pain or the flavor or the happiness.
Or the same one.
The nimitta of the... But when that's why it's marked, and so it can be recalled. That's the
but
sanya.
It's not the moment now.
Not the same moment, right? Mm. But it could be the
different
same
moment.
For example, the pain, the toothache, and when there's remembering or the toothache, that recall the pain at that time.
Not the same moment.
Not the same moment, right? Not at the same all. Moment, right? But in a sense, the memory sanya kind of bring it back in the sense of nimitta.
Well, you say in the sense of nimitta, and we could say just as a memory. So nothing to do with the original reality.
But without that original reality, there is no marking and recalling of that.
Of course. So like right. Now when we're speaking, right. There's a lot of recalling of the language.
Right, right.
And that is thinking, see? Thinking.
Yes, right.
Not thinking. The same moment.
No, not the same moment. Right. But I was saying the sanya...
So not the same moment of sanya.
So what do you infer? What's when you say, in a sense, the reality is recalled? What's the point you're trying to make there?
Okay, like the pen, dukkha, when it's marked by the sanya, right?
Say again?
When sanya mark the bodily pain. Say
pain.
Pain, dukkha. And then we can still recall, remember that pain is kind of alive, it's still so painful, right?
Thinking.
Thinking, well, yeah, it's yeah, thinking,
not
right?
Not the moment.
Yes.
No,
go on.
No.
So, right. Never to return. The thinking now, condition the next moment of thinking, but not the thinking now.
Okay, maybe just flavor is easier. But when we recall a flavor,
yes,
and then it can, even just by recalling, it can have the effect of like water, like mouth watering, right?
And then?
Thinking, yeah,
so
it's thinking,
what?
Right?
So what? So
I mean, that,
flavor.
Cheetah's conditioning rupus too.
right.
And temperature conditioning rupus, but it's still just thinking again and again, not that.
But what is thought about?
The taste is long gone.
The taste is gone, but what is thought about is another taste thought about.
Thought about is an idea, not a taste.
But that's the... It comes back in as a aramana.
It doesn't, nothing
memory.
Comes back.
Then how come that flavor is remembered?
It is recalled. It's but the flavor
not moment of taste. It's just moment of remember, but not the taste is was there again.
Taste is gone, right? Taste is gone, right?
Suppose you take a picture of the cup, and the cup is gone, and then you still have the picture. That's it. The cup's gone. Just got the picture.
And now you can think of pai hei.
Is there memory of sanya at moment of tasting?
Yes.
And when you think of it, is it the same moment of tasting it?
No, not the same moment.
So it doesn't arise again, never to arise again.
But the function of that remembering at that time.
Sanya can remember the past, the present too, or think about future.
So that sanya conditions the thinking about the idea of that pain or taste,
I'd like you to tell us what the significance of this is.
I'm just saying, we say it's never to come back, right? And right.
And then?
Well, the whole idea is to let go, right? Dharma, the whole idea is the...
No intention.
This is another issue.
It's the function.
Letting go
of
is
the
another
reality.
Issue.
And I'm slowly getting the relevance because when we say never to return, that's a kind of a condition to letting it go. It's never to return.
Even conditions to never return.
Right, because the condition are among the...
There can only be letting go at the moment. It's there, so... But anyway, go on, and I'm still waiting to hear the significance of this.
Okay. Like, we know it's never to return, but it doesn't mean we can let go.
And then?
So, and also, like a recording, like the discussion, we can listen to the discussion again this evening, right?
Mm.
Tonight.
And then?
So, the sound kind of returned.
And then?
It's not the same, right?
What
and
do you then? Mean by return?
Huh? And then?
Is it the sound that was...
Not the same, not the same, right?
No, it's
never
sound,
the same, right?
Sound.
It's never the same, right?
So what?
Okay. I mean, I don't really... I mean, the importance of letting go is knowing the going... It's gone, right? It's anicca, it's arise and pass away and pass away and pass away. That's the...
Not by thinking, though.
Not by thinking, right? I mean, not by thinking. So, and that's the last word of the Buddha. So, it's about the passing away. So, I don't know, never to return.
Well, I'm still trying to grasp the significance of this.
Well, there are two points.
How does it relate to the last words of the
Buddha?
There
are two points I'm
what
trying
was
to
the last
make.
Word
that's
of the
why.
Buddha? Yeah. Please make them.
Okay, I'll make it very clear now. That when we say never to return, we don't really see, at least for me, I don't see that in the sutta. Mm-hmm. It's the anicca being emphasized. Mm-hmm. Arise and pass away. So, I mean, in terms of letting go, it's the banya understand the passing away.
Isn't it the same meaning, that which arises and passes away? How can it arise again?
But
because it's gone.
We know it's never to return, the exact one, never to return.
Well, it is in the suttas.
Right.
It is in the suttas. Because it's in the form of, sometimes we say it wasn't, then it was, then it's gone. And there's a particular phrase in Pali which appears in several suttas. From not having been, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Then... Having been, it goes. It's
right,
gone.
That's the
it's
essence of...
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Right.
But so. I mean, it does not talk about it never come back.
So if it's gone, how does it come back?
No. I mean...
Because well, from not having been, it comes. So
that's why I'm making the second
from
point.
Nothing, it is, and then it's nothing again.
That's why
so
I'm making...
Not gone somewhere and waiting, hanging around for another.
Yeah, sure. It's there's no storage for whatever is gone.
Right.
No. Never return.
And that's the meaning of sunyata. It's just the reality itself. No one there, no thing there, gone completely, never to return. No core, no essence, nothing.
Right.
Because it's there just by conditions.
Yeah, but
so
that's...
So once it's gone, it's how can it come again? Where does it to come again?
No, that does not contradict each other, right?
Why would you like it to come again? Why? What difference would it make if it came again?
That's what the robot want, right? So there's all the photo, all the recording, and all the want to experience that again, right?
If there's right understanding of reality that falls away, can one still look at photos and recall the trip to India and so on?
It's still like I don't understand, but she doesn't mind looking at the photo. So, and
no idea of the visible object seen then as being seen now. Completely different.
How does it affect the development of understanding, what you're saying now?
I mean, never to return.
Yeah, I understand that's what you're saying, but you don't. I'm not quite happy with that, but how does this affect the development of understanding?
What about the fire when it extinguished? Can you have it come back, arise again?
Not the same fire.
Whatever arises, gone.
Right.
Never to arise again.
Right. Yeah.
Right is right.
And how does it affect the development of understanding?
It. You mean which one? Never to return the term or?
No, your understanding of your interpretation that it falls away, but it hasn't gone completely.
Okay, let's back to the very beginning when I say memory, right? When we say never to return, but in a sense, the memory kind of bring it back.
We've got all that, but how does it affect the development of the path is what I want to know.
That's why it's a hindrance. It's because that's the condition for Loba to want it again.
What's again. The condition for Loba wanting it again?
The memory.
Yes, and then?
The memory can make it seem it's re-experienced again.
The memory, but the memory doesn't actually condition the loba. The person who has eradicated loba, that's it. It's the loba attachment that is but the problem, not the memory.
Right, but for loba, with the assist of sanya, to remember, it's one of the kanda because...
Okay, so tell me more about the hindrances then. What are you saying?
Because the memory of some pleasant and that condition, the loba to want it again and again, and it's never to return, but it's the, it can be not discernible. Yeah. Okay. It's the same.
Okay, so it's basically the same. How does this affect the development of understanding?
It's hindrance, right?
What is a hindrance?
The
hindrance
ignorance of being able to repeat the experience, to re-experience that again and again. Because of memory, remember the sukha or the somanasa.
Can this moment arise again?
No, right.
Never to arise again.
Right.
Can the painful feeling now, like the painful feeling in your foot, can it ever arise? Can it ever last? Can it reappear?
No. But it can be remembered, right?
It can be remembered, that's the point.
How
it's
is it
gone.
A hindrance, being able to remember past pain?
Letting go, right? The Buddha recalled so many lives. Yeah. You mean that?
And we couldn't have this conversation if there weren't memory.
Right.
Is that a hindrance?
You mean that we cannot let go in true meaning?
Which of the hindrances is it?
Because it seems it's returned.
Because of...
For example, the technology can help the past person.
I just missed what you said there, because it's what? It seems it can return. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see.
Right, for example, now the technology can make...
But that's just your way of thinking. Another person may not think that way.
It's of course thinking.
What?
Certainly it's thinking, right. It's thinking for sure.
Yeah.
Akusala thinking.
Right.
Moment of thinking, is it moment of seeing?
No.
So is there sanya at moment of seeing?
Yes.
And is there sanya at moment of thinking?
Yes.
The same or different moment?
Different moment, different sanya.
So why not that which arises with seeing just a moment ago.
Why not?
Why it cannot be the moment?
Because it's gone.
Never to return.
Gone, never to return. That's the point.
But why not just it's gone?
Oh, instead of never to return?
Yeah.
Never to arise again. Never to arise again.
He wants an out clause.
I mean, I'm still trying to grasp the significance of what you're saying.
And because the two seem mixed together, that's why.
But please just speak plainly about, I mean, this is obviously important to you, so tell us why it's important.
Well, first, it's not that important, okay? I'm not really bothering.
Right.
It's just when first in terms of timing, right? Before, when I heard about never to return, but when I read the sutta, I don't see this.
Right, you've said that.
Right.
Yeah, so then?
And then it seems gone is enough.
Right. Okay, so then?
In terms of, for the banya, the gone is enough. Yeah. Right.
Does it return? Yeah. Does the seeing it now
doesn't,
return?
It doesn't, but it's implied never return. But it's,
I want
it's
him
already.
To tell us why it's important.
In the sutta, you don't see, right. We don't really
yeah,
see
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
in, right,
that.
Right.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and then, okay, that, and then that's the one. It doesn't really bother me, but.
Okay, and
then. And then we're looking at the photo, and then it's kind of remind me the memory can, in a sense, bring it back.
And then?
That's it. That's why I raised the question, never to return. But it seems that...
What's the significance of that?
So the significance is he thinks it's not right to say never to return, because it seems to
not,
return.
Not read...
There's more to it than that.
Yeah.
I remember last
it's not to the degree not right, just it's not necessary.
Yeah, but that, what's the difference then? What difference does this make practically in terms of understanding and the development of the path?
So do you think that what arises and fall away can arise again?
Well, okay, to me, that doesn't really matter. What's really matter is it's gone.
Because so, what is right?
It's gone is right.
Can it arise again?
That
which has gone?
That exact same one, no. But
never.
Even now, we cannot tell it's not the same one. It's still
it seems like there is touching and there's hardness never fall away at all.
And even if it's far away, what arises immediately is almost
not the
exactly
same one.
Not the
same, one.
But basically exactly the same, so we cannot tell the difference.
Because seeing sees, it cannot touch. And touching experience hardness no matter at any time.
Right.
But right. It does mean that which has touched, what is touched, can arise again to touch.
But Ajahn, to me, why it's gone is enough, because even if it's the same, but if it's, I mean, even if it's the same, like now, like now it's exact, it's almost, no, yeah, it's not the same, but look at this, do you think it's not the same? You don't think it's the same? Basically, we think it's the same, right? That's why it's vipalasa. No, that's why it's vipalasa, right? It's you take it for permanent, right? But...
Continue.
Okay.
I'm waiting to hear this.
I'm saying, even if it's returned, but if it's gone immediately, that's still dukkha. Even if it's the
still
same
dukkha.
One. Yeah. So that's why, if it's the same one to me, it doesn't matter. Because what's really matter is it's gone immediately, so it has the characteristic of dukkha, even if it is the same one.
Yes. Now, what's the dukkha point?
The dukkha point,
yes.
Unsatisfactory.
What's the dukkha aspect you're drawing our attention to?
No, it's because anicca, so there's a dukkha, right? But the anicca, the point is it's gone. Even if it's the same one, it's gone, it's still dukkha.
It's anicca and it's dukkha.
Right.
Both, yes.
Right. But anicca, is that important if it's the same one, anicca, or just anicca itself? It's important.
each one, each reality is a nature, because right. the nature of each reality,
right.
seeing or hearing, is to fall away,
right.
to be gone, never yes. to return again.
But each that's one. Enough, right? That's enough for Panya to appreciate, to let
Panya
go, right?
Just understands the nature of seeing, and the nature of seeing is it arises and falls away.
It doesn't matter if the reality is the same one or not, right?
No, it's okay. never the same one, though.
But, I mean, yes, it's never the same one, but it does that matter?
What's the point about dukkha?
Dukkha means not worthwhile to clean.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So, how does this affect
I mean,
your understanding the reason of
is
dukkha?
Not, the reason it's not worth to clean is because it's gone immediately.
Yes.
Gone completely.
Yes.
Gone, it can never be experienced
it's,
again.
Even if
completely
it's the same
gone.
One, it's yeah, still it's, gone immediately.
Yeah, so why is this important?
So the same one or not, it doesn't yeah. really matter. Okay. It's gone already.
Okay, so then?
So if it's returned, okay, it's returned the same one, it's gone immediately. So it's not worth to clean.
So then?
It's still not worth to clean.
Yeah. So what's the point, though?
The point is the going away immediately is the key. If it's the same one or not, doesn't really
yeah.
matter.
So how does it make any difference to the development of understanding?
I can say it doesn't hurt. I mean, never to return can kind of help us to condition letting go, right? How does that help to...
How is this significant in the development of understanding? Is it a different understanding of dukkha? Is it a different understanding of what?
What the...
A different understanding of anicca.
But if it's really necessary, it's really a helping factor, then why not? I mean, if it's not helping, in a sense, it does not help.
But why does the revised version help?
Because that's what the sutta only have. Arise and gone, arise and gone. And Satipatthana Sutta only talk about its arise and pass away.
Mm-hmm.
It does not talk about it never. It's not the same.
So
tomorrow we can find the
same. Well, but it's not really not significant because the photos kind of let me think about never to return. But in a sense,
just
that
thinking.
Moment doesn't really return, but the memory kind of brings.
Vipalasa, I recall.
Yeah, Vipalasa, right. That's
maybe tomorrow yeah. we will answer your question.
Physical food is necessary to maintain life. But we cannot say that the nutriment is conditioned for citta because it's actually conditioned by karma, whether there's the cittas that or the cittas that continue life, you know. So
now that can be the understanding of the four ahara. What are they? Is there ahara now?
Yes.
What?
Mental mahapasa.
Pasahara,
vijnana ahara,
cetana.
And cetana, which is the mano sanchetana
ahara,
yes.
And
must be also ahara.
What they said,
the food that has been eaten before. The
four ahara, yes. Three nama,
vijnana, yes, already mentioned, mm-hmm. yes.
So I think we've come in a big circle, Ajahn, because the other day when the topic came up and we started to discuss it, and I mentioned that my understanding was that any chetana was included in any citta, but then we discussed how it was just referring to particular chetanas, kusala and akusala, and particular vijnana, vipaka, cittas. So I think what is meant is any are included, but in particular context has to be the cetana just refers to kusala, nakusala, and the vijnana just refers to vipaka. So generally any cetana, any vipaka, but we have to look at the context. So this is why we always
because
have to study the text.
Only that
carefully.
Is not enough. For example, pasa is ahara. For all kinds of citta. But when we talk about cetana, which is kusala, akusala, and vipaka, and we learn a little more about each reality.
for example, when we're reading in a text about ahara, it doesn't mean all kinds are included, so it depends on the context.
See, when we understand a little more about different moments, we can understand what it's meant.
I think the question of Maves was in conventional life when someone breathes in and out or takes slow breaths, all the examples we read about in the text, it must have some connection with the reality of breath, otherwise we wouldn't have all these ideas. But when we understand about the group of rupas conditioned by citta at almost every moment, which is breath, it seems very far away from the conventional ideas. But then it's just like with the body, we think of a body, but actually very far away from the understanding of different rupas which are taken for the body. So it's just the same, really.
Because like when we breathe in conventionally, it's just the air that comes in. It's conditioned by utu. It's not the, yeah.
For example, when we talk about body, we don't think about table. See?
That's the same. Uh-huh. And when we talk about breath, we don't talk about
the other rupa.
Other rupas, yes.
I'm not sure, but sometimes I see, for example, the term anapana translated as breath and other times as breathing. Well, the two are not the same, of course. And I'm not sure whether it's breath or breathing that is correctly being referred to when talking about what's in the suttas and so forth.
Is there any difference between breathing and eating?
Between breathing and... I couldn't have breakfast just on breathing.
That's right, it's different.
Ajahn, can we understand that breathing involves the air to come in and out? Breath is like one kind of breathing condition or arise by jit. You see, because... if jit condition the breath, mean that there are some reality, tamma arising at that time to make breathing occurring.
Yes, Ajahn.
Can we say breathing is the movement of breath?
Yes.
Only that?
Yes, exactly.
So which is it that's conditioned by citta? It's a question of whether the breath arises because there is the movement.
With our breath, can it move? Breathing?
Well, when there's breathing, there's movement of the body.
Breath only. That's why we call breathing.
Is the jitta conditioning the movement of the body which creates the flow of air?
That's why breath is conditioned by jitta. Like movement, moving the arms, right, by jitta.
Okay.
But this is not breath.
No. So that's why in and out breathing is probably a better translation than breath for what is being referred to.
So, is there now anyone breathe?
No one.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the rupas that conditioned by citta are the breath. The breathing is different from the rupas themselves that are the breath.
As we used to think, it's a part of the body. In order to find out what is breath, it's not out the body, out of the body. It's not away from the body. It's different from the other, like arms and legs. That's why we have different words. while one is asleep? Is there breath or breathing?
Yes, there is such a both breathing and breath.
Really? While one is
which comes first, the breathing or
no,
breath?
While we are asleep. While we are sleeping. What is there? Breathing or breath?
Can it be both?
Just the movement.
Conditioned by citta. The movement of the breath at that moment. But no citta conditioned the moving. It's only breath conditioned by citta.
The breathing involving air, right? You have air.
More tangles.
Don't say that, no.
No, why not?
Because we're talking about something, as Ajahn said, within the body.
Yes,
so
that is breath.
Air is out there.
You see, so we have to see the different two words here. Breathing and breath.
That's what we're discussing,
yeah,
the difference
right.
between these
so
two words.
I would say that breathing in, involving air to come in and out, we call that breathing. And breath is something that arising and conditioned by citta.
What conditions the movement of the body to for the air, in your terms, to go in and out?
Is we call it breath going in out when the citta conditioning the breath, there is a reality arising at that time, right? So that reality make your body to breathe. So when it comes to breathing, involving the air coming in and out, that's what we call breathing, right? So breath and breathing is two different things.
So what you're saying is citta conditions breath.
Yes.
And these rupas that we call breath.
Your body, you say.
Cause the body to
expand
and contract.
Yeah. Creating the breathing.
I'm not sure if that's right or not.
Yeah,
I'm not sure which.
If you have no air,
with the chicken or the egg,
you still have breath, but you have no air, but you are down, because no air is no breathing, right?
Well, we don't know. We don't know what's going on at that
people
time.
Are
we
down
just know the convention.
They don't get the air.
We just know the conventional perception, which is that at time of being underwater and holding your breath, there's no breathing. But that doesn't really help, because we're talking about dhammas that are so subtle, and it may be that there's still the same conditioning going on at the time of holding breath. It's not really possible to answer this by basing it on our general daily experience. But it may be somewhere in the teachings, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's the proverb of languages. Wording, right? But in Thai we have two words, kan hai chai and lom hai chai. This different word, different thing altogether.
Kan hai chai is breathing.
Yeah.
Lom hai chai is
breath going. Is the breathing lom hai chai? I don't know whether it's right or wrong. I have to listen to Ajahn.
If we just talk about one reality at a time, it will be clearer.
Yeah.
What is breath, you see? What is breath? Rupa, it cannot experience any object.
Or is it
just a concept? Breath.
No truth.
I don't know. It's just a concept.
That's why we learn just to have confidence of the reality as not self. What is breath? Softness, hardness, the 8 rupas.
So it's a particular softness or hardness conditioned by citta that we can call breath. So breath is a concept, but there are those particular realities conditioned by citta, not any softness, not any hardness, but those particular ones. However much we think about the conventional situations, holding our head under water and breathing in and out, it will never lead to the understanding of the reality of the rupa. And you have different words in Thai, we have different words in English or Vietnamese, but it's not a matter of the words, it's understanding more about the reality.
Ajahn, can you help to explain more about the breathing and breath when sleepy? I don't understand the comment before.
Understanding the truth, the nature of what is there as it is. What is breath?
Ajahn said that it's a kaya rupa just conditioned by citta.
How many rupas arise together to be breath?
Arise together, at least 8.
Because as we were just saying, breath is a concept. So there are rupas that are taken for breath or breathing.
Yeah. I don't understand why Ajahn say that when we are deep sleep, only breath, no breathing. Is that what I heard is correct?
Did you say when we're in a deep sleep, there's only breath and no breathing?
What is breath again in other weather? What is breathing?
So, I don't know.
Without intention, can there be breathing?
No.
At that moment, does it intend to breathe?
No, but there is the chitana still arising with that
chitta. There is chitta, so there must be breath. But no breathing at moment.
So when you talk about breathing, you mean the intentional...
Surely if there's breath, there's breathing. When in a deep sleep, there's still the movement of the lungs.
Is that fast asleep?
I think so.
Yes. Moving the body.
Snoring? What about snoring?
Snoring.
Can a person who is fast asleep snore? I think so.
No movement at all. And moment of being fast asleep. No movement.
Oh, really?
No
impossible.
Movement of the body.
But there must be the process of citta. Otherwise the body cannot move at all.
Could be the vikara rupas, but not the kaya vinyata, no intention to move, but there can still be the vikara rupas, the movement and in the wind or something like this.
Or the air in and out.
So
in and out, what does it mean?
The air, because I think the person who is fast asleep
in,
still.
Do you know what in and out? Different. Breath.
Still something there. Because usually people...
When it's there by condition, citta, can it be in or out?
Yeah, this is not what is the breath, but I mean that at that moment what is called breathing is still
at
happening.
At moment of realizing the nature, the truth of breath, no in, no out.
Yes, yes. But there's a question of breathing. Because
it has to be done by citta, the intention to move deeply or shortly or long by citta. But now, is it long or short?
Not even thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. It's there, as long as it is citta.
Are you saying that because, you know, while deep asleep, there's no intention to move, no kaya vinyati at all at those moments. So any movement there is, in addition to the eight rupas, there can be the vikara rupas, the movements of the body, but not by any intention to move. So when we talk about the groups of rupa conditioned by breath, that's why it can be eight rupas or nine when there's kaya vinyati, or 10 when there's vajji vinyati and so on, or 11 with the vikara rupas, like in deep sleep. So in deep sleep there may be no movement, or there may be movement, but just with the vikara rupas, not with the intention to move the kaya vinyati, otherwise it wouldn't be fast asleep.
So just to be clear, we're talking about fast asleep, bhavanga jitta, no interruption of sense or jittas.
Not talking about dreams or where there can be intention to move. We're talking about just in deep sleep.
And at those times, there is not arising the jitta that can condition breath.
Jitta conditions breath, but not breathing. Breath at each of those moments of bhavanga jittas. The chitta bhavanga chitta conditions the breath.
I see.
So when we
conditions breath but not breathing.
Is it possible the breath, the wind element conditioned by the bhavanga chitta is strong enough to cause a movement? The bhavanga chitta still conditioned the breath, right? Said that particularly the wind element is produced and then cause the movement, the breathing, the movement of lung, maybe.
Can you breathe?
Not me, right?
Can you breathe?
Yes.
What chitta?
Any chitta except the five pair.
So at moment of bhavanga, is the breath?
Yes, but we don't know it's a wind element or more.
Is it breathing or breath?
Breath. But we are also talking about the movement in deep sleep, like the blood is still circulating, the heart is still beating, but that's by gamma anyway.
It's only the idea.
Right.
As soon as you start talking about the heart circulating, the blood moving, then we're getting into tangled land again, because what realities are we talking about? But when deep asleep, temperature, for example, can condition rupas, so there can be movement conditioned by temperature, for example.
Right.
Vikara rupas.
By
temperature, yes.
Yes.
You mean they expand and contract for that?
Just different rupas. Like now, if by temperature the hairs can move. In deep sleep there can be movement. Like you can see someone who is sleeping, there can be movement even in deep sleep. By temperature, the vikara rupas. But no intention to move, no kaya vinyati, no chitaja rupas. Just the temperature conditioned rupas. At the last chuti chitta of the arahat's life, no more breath.
So the ordinary
chuti
still the first moment of breath in the next life.
Not the patisandhi, the next chitta, the first bhavanga chitta. No breathing, just breath.
So the 10 pair, the 5 pairs, the 10, and the 4 akka arupa jhana chittas, and the chuti chitta of the arahats.
The patisandhi chitta in each life.
Okay, so the last chitta, the fourth jhana chitta, still has breath?
I think it was referring, but I would have to check the arupa jhana chittas and results, maybe two of them, and their results.
Okay.
we don't have to worry too much about the chuti chita of the arahat or the arupa jhanas, whether there's any breath.
We just worry about we don't have a breath in out when we deep sleep.
You still have breath, but you're not breathing. Let's say you got put on oxygen or something, then the breath's still there because the rupa that still chitta, right? So, but if you've been given oxygen, then that's also no breathing.
If there was no breath, there would be no life. So there has to be breath, but there doesn't have to be breathing, intentional breathing. So however that breath occurs with the support of oxygen or special nutriment, there has to be breath, conditioned by citta at each moment.
So what we're saying that the contraction and the expansion of the abdomen during deep sleep it's not caused by citta, it's caused by temperature. Is that what we're saying?
Is there expansion and contraction of the abdomen in deep sleep?
Yes. When you look at somebody when they're fall asleep, you see that
it's... You don't know if they're in deep sleep or not.
Oh, we don't know.
No.
Oh, we don't know. But suppose they are... What it causes it?
But you're
know.
Just saying
suppose.
Yeah. Yeah,
we don't know.
We don't know for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Like when someone's dreaming, you can see there's a lot more movement.
Yeah.
A lot more movement conditioned by citta.
So now we're talking about that which does not appear. No understanding of that which is now appearing. We can talk about it in order to understand it, the difference between the citta, the rupa conditioned by citta, and the rupa conditioned by ahara, or what?
Me too.
So all kind of citta are vinyana ahara, but by way of different pattaya, right? So today, it's quite clear for me today, yeah. Thank you, Thanachan.
You cannot listen to all of them at once, but learn little by little.
Yes.
Because only all vipaka citta is vinyanahan, because the result of the manosanchetana ahan, and citta, that condition, breath, is vinyana ahan by way of sahachata pachaya, sampayutta pachaya, is that right?
Little by little. consider it carefully, little by little.
Yeah.
So now, little by little.
Little by little. Yeah. So now, today, the citta is vinyanahan by way of the result of the past karma, by way of manosanchetanahan.
When we talk about that, every citta is vinyanahara.
Yes.
Talk about one citta at a time to understand how it is ahara.
I see. Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just a word.
Thank you, Thanachan.
We can say, is there ahara pachaya now, see, kamma pachaya now, and so on, when there is the understanding. But without understanding the nature of that which experiences the object and that which cannot experience the object, there must be wrong understanding about whatever is there as something or I, because no understanding of the truth.
And we hear one point and we think, oh, it's clear now. But actually one has to consider again and again, and one has to check in the texts, like the passage in the Paramis in Thai yesterday. Sometimes it's not complete, or sometimes the text hasn't been referred to.
So we have to keep considering and go back, and even in the text, in what context. So whether the vijnana is referring to every citta, or in this context, just the result of manosanchetana, just the result of karma. So I think usually it's never clear. So there always has to be the considering and checking again and again. Not just accepting what is said, because it has to be one's own considering, one's own checking. Like manosanchetana, we were talking about it just referring to kusala and akusala, cittas and karma, but then Jan was saying actually it can be any chetana, and not any chetana that brings result or vipaka. So that's why we have to keep considering carefully.
No, because I'm thinking about what the question that Joan raised earlier about the meaning of anapana, because in the text it refers to the breathing in and out, then it should...
Yes, in or out, it's the breath.
It's conditioned by the breath.
It's conditioned by the breath and the intention to move the breath. Because if there was no intention to move the breath, would there be any breathing in and out?
Lien Ajahn, the intention to move the breath, that means that that reality over there can be called vinyati loop.
Can hardness move?
No.
But we got a rupa.
You got a rupa.
Another kind of rupa, which is not hard.
Yeah, I see. Another kind of rupa, which is not hard. Mm. That makes the breathing occur. Yes. Thank you very much.
Even in deep sleep, there can be the vikara rupas arising with the group of rupas conditioned by citta, but no kaya vinyati, no intention to move. No during, breathing in and out.
Yeah. During your deep sleep here, and you have the body movement, can this body movement arising because of, the utu? Utu is the air.
Yes.
The temperature.
Condition.
The temperature can create rupa.
Yes.
So during your deep sleep, yeah. And then you move your body without your consciousness. So it can be rupa, utu, make your body move. That's right. That we are talking about, yeah. Yeah. It's not jit, yeah.
Just like now the hair may move in the fan.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the same in deep sleep. If there's a fan on, it may move the hairs.
Yes.
Or it can be an intention to move, such as you sleep in one or certain position for a long time and it starts to hurt or ache, and then the body move.
Any intention to move in deep sleep?
No. So, I mean, when there is an intention to move, I got what you
said. Not in deep sleep.
Not in deep sleep.
So actually one doesn't know exactly what moment at the moment in deep sleep. The appearance.
That's why one cannot judge just by looking at someone, because there's some movement. We don't know. There can be an idea, that's all.
Can utu condition the movement of the body now?
Mm. Like sometimes air in the stomach, for example, conditioned by utu, yeah.
And it's by other condition.
And that can be deep sleep too.
So it's not utu now, it becomes the rupa, air. Is that right? The movement arising because of the air in your body. right?
I think it's when it's you say that it's conditioned by utu, it means that it's yeah, it's by the other rupas.
Yeah.
We're talking about utu temperature. It's the same because
four
conditions for rupas: karma, citta, temperature, utu, or nutriment. Only four.
Okay. Thank you.